The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Thursday, April 10th, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And later this half hour, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois will discuss the cash grain market. In agricultural news, the House has named conferees to the Farm Bill, and discussion with the Senate on the measure began today. Also, tensions between the White House and U.S. House are escalating over a potential free trade deal with Colombia. We'll have these and other stories this half hour. And we'll also get the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Thursday edition of your Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Thursday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City May wheat: 974¾, down 13¼. July: 980, down 19. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat: 923, down 11. July: 936¼, down 10½. December: 963¼, down 10¾. May corn: 594¼, down 10¾. July: 607½, down 10. And September: 614¼, down 9. December: 611¼, down 8¾. May soybeans: 1356, up 43. July: 1372¾, up 42¾. August: 1360, up 40. November: 1271, up 27. May soybean meal: 352.20, up 260. July: 355, up $3. May soybean oil: 60.17, up 210. July: 60.90, up 212. April live cattle: 88.47½, up 170. April feeders: 99.12½, up 87½. And April lean hogs: 59.17½, down 25. And that's today's settlements in Kansas City and in Chicago. Now taking a look at outside markets, May crude oil at $109.55 is off $1.32. June: $109.58 is off 61 cents. The CRB at $408.99 is up 49. The U.S. dollar: 72.12 is up 29 cents. The Dow Jones: 12.612 is up almost 86 points. Silver contract for May: the settlement there at 1804 is off just over 15 cents. And for the gold contract, the June contract, 931.80, the tick there, down 570. And the S&P 500 at 1363 is up 877. Ed Kieser tells us a flash flood watch is in effect for all of Illinois and for extreme northwestern and extreme southwestern Indiana until tomorrow morning. A flood watch is in effect for much of northern and west central Indiana from late this afternoon through tomorrow afternoon. A flash flood warning is in effect for portions of southwestern Illinois until 2:30 this afternoon. And a tornado watch is in effect in extreme southern Illinois until 5 p.m. Tonight, cloudy with widespread rain and thunderstorms across the two-state region. Some strong to severe are likely. Locally, heavy rainfall is also expected, lows ranging from 43 degrees in far northern Illinois to 63 degrees in southern Indiana.
Do you know what to do when severe weather threatens? Find out at a free tornado safety seminar with WILL Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser this Thursday night at 7 at the Beckman Auditorium at 405 North Matthews in Urbana. Our thanks to Beckman Institute for Advanced Science and Technology for co-sponsoring this event.
Joining us now for a look at the agricultural futures market is Dan Zwicker, market analyst for ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hi, Dave.
Pretty important day from a technical standpoint, I guess, in the soybeans, showing some strength from the export sales this morning.
Well, that as well as expectations that we may do some more business because the chatter, I guess, in South America is that the farmers may go back on strike. So that is sending some world buyers here to the U.S. to buy some inventory just to make sure that they got some inventory flown into their port. So as farmers are restless down in South America over their tax policy and demonstrating against their president and politicians, that's chasing business here to the U.S., especially on the soybean front, and that is where the soybeans are getting their strength.
We did manage to get above the 50-day moving average, but couldn't hold that, nor could we hold a retracement off of the contract highs to the April lows on those Fibonacci speed lines you'd like to keep track of.
Well, that may be the case, but we did, at least looking at the lead option chart here, I can maybe punch up the November chart. The key thing is that we took out the previous reaction high before we went on down and made this April 1 low. So we did punch through this 326 high, which is a strong indication that at least the downtrend that has been basically in place since early March has been maybe negated, or has the overall trend has turned into something more sideways, could be trending higher. We'll have to kind of see where our retracements go. But the beans have put in some pretty good performance given the fact that we've got a big outside down monthly reversal on the charts. It's kind of like, climbing up Niagara Falls, and beans so far has done a pretty good job of that. And we'll just kind of have to go from there. But chart formations and price action basically since early April does say that we do have more retracement capability in the bean complex here. We'll just have to take one day at a time.
Looks like the lead month has been some short covering, too.
Well, up until yesterday, open interest has been in a steady decline in beans. So beans have been in a liquidation mode basically since we started topping out the market basically in middle February. We've been kind of in a declining open interest. Now, yesterday we did see a bubble up of open interest because of the reports and because of expectations that the unrest in South America is going to result in bigger bean exports, and that will tighten up our inventory levels down to very skinny pipeline-type levels. So you did see some interest in wanting to own soybeans yesterday after the report.
Corn today, an inside day, but finishing at the bottom of the range. What do we take away from that?
Well, inside days are kind of neutral days. I think, we had a pretty good emotional day there yesterday. But I think a couple things got into the corn market here today. Number one is the export sales number was a little disappointing in corn. So it does show that maybe these higher prices that we've seen in corn is slowing export demand down. That's a little different than soybeans. Soybeans, we've got, people were planning on buying South American inventory. They can't get it, so they're coming to the U.S. and buying it at whatever price they can get it at. The other thing is the dollar. Earlier this morning, it had broken out of a triangle formation to the downside, which kind of signaled maybe the dollar was going to take another big leg to the downside. But here by midday, we've turned the dollar higher, and now is back inside that triangle formation. So I think the stronger dollar here kind of got into some of these outside markets, which also pressured the gold market down a little bit. We do have crude oil prices a little bit on the soft side, and I think that kind of hit into the corn.
So what do we take away from the week's worth of trading data so far?
Well, I think corn is right on. Corn needs to kind of regroup itself after this dime loss here if it wants to kind of maintain a bullish posture on the technical front. Actually, with today's loss, we're actually maybe a penny or two behind for the week after making new record highs. So corn is in danger of putting in a weekly reversal down if it doesn't regroup and regain some of the losses here we saw here today. Soybeans look like they're on track to have a more meaningful, at least retracement rally of this March decline. Whether or not that monthly reversal down is negated or not, we need more time on that. But at least soybeans have a good shot at least muting some of that bearishness, at least for the time being. Maybe, like I said, we might begin to start turning into more of a trading type market, a sideways type trading range, rather than the steep climb that we've kind of experienced most of the winter.
Turn your attention to the wheat market, where we had some technical weakness yesterday, and it looks like we're a little bit follow through today.
Well, the wheat market, you know, we are getting some rain into the hard red winter wheat area, maybe not as much as what we'd like, and maybe not all locations, but that is easing some of the production worry that we have in the hard red winter crop. I don't know if so far I don't think this heavy rain in the eastern corn belt has harmed the soft red winter wheat crop any. So the wheat crop still, you know, is on track to be a big one. You know, we may get into weather problems later, but at least for right now. And then seasonally, you know, the calendar's ticking. Wheat market sometimes has a shot at an April rally. Basically on worries of how wheat is coming out of dormancy and crop rating levels and maybe frost, late frost concerns type thing. Then it's pretty much of a downhill slide as you as the combines begin to start rolling in southern Texas and move north.
And the $64,000 question, to what degree do you think the traders are concerned or not concerned about potential weather delays at this point?
Let's say it's got everybody's attention, but it is only May 10th. Tomorrow, I guess, is 11th.
April 10th.
I would say, you know, we've got a couple weeks yet for people to kind of bite their fingernails, but if something doesn't begin to break in a couple weeks, I think the market then would really get concerned about losing corn acres or not getting all of the corn acres that was intended to be planted, and then that would be probably real bullish to the corn market.
And we have about a minute left or a little bit under that. Could you talk a little bit about what you're seeing on the livestock side?
Well, the livestock, I did look at some of the charts. I mean, they do, at least a pork complex, so there is some optimism that as we go down the road here that maybe the pork complex is going to turn a little higher. We at least have some bottom pickers taking hold here. I think a lot of that will probably depend, too, probably on how this grain market unfolds over the next 3 to 4 weeks or how the planting season goes. But there is some optimism, at least being expressed on the technical picture, that maybe this livestock market can recover some.
Thank you much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
In agricultural news, The governor of Illinois says the state will rescind $17.8 million for the fiscal year ending June 30th from University of Illinois Extension programs. Senior U of I officials are discussing the rescission with state lawmakers and budget officials, stressing the importance of extension throughout Illinois. Officials at the university's College of Agriculture, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences say the rescission could directly impact 450 jobs and amount to a total funding loss of $29 million when costs associated with employee separations are factored in. The president of South Korea will spend 2 days next week with President George Bush at Camp David, giving beef industry executives hope that there will be a breakthrough on issues surrounding U.S. beef exports. But USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says, quote, "We do not expect a particular announcement on beef trade while the president of South Korea is here." Farm bill negotiators continue to be stalemated over farm bill funding. Senators continue to look for offsets for the $10 billion needed over baseline, and House negotiators remain unhappy with the lack of progress. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin says money does not need to be an issue.
I'd like to see it settled by just using an offset from, there's a simple provision called credit card reporting, which I think can get you like $13 billion, which we don't need. We just need about $10 billion of that. That would take care of it. The White House is okay with that, I understand, but I guess somebody here isn't. There are a number of little things like that that we could do that don't really raise taxes, but which the Congressional Budget Office would score for us positively. I just mentioned one of them.
As for the current tax package to fund offsets, Harkin says the House Ways and Means Committee appears opposed.
That's not to say that a deal might not be cut where some of it's thrown overboard and some of it's kept. I mean, it's about $2.5 billion, if I'm not mistaken. And there are some provisions in there that maybe are more meaningful than others. But we haven't even gotten to that point because the Ways and Means Committee has said no to everything. And whether or not Senator Baucus has been able to negotiate with them and Grassley, I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard anything yet.
Harkin says it's possible farm bill conferees will ultimately agree on a baseline bill. Meanwhile, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says if the Senate House log jam continues, he wants to debate it publicly. In Peterson's words, there are things at issue here that will be hard to defend in public. Yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi named conferees to the bill. That starts a 20-day clock. If there is no agreement after 20 days, members can offer unlimited motions to instruct, allowing the GOP to force votes on motions designed to make Democrats uncomfortable. Democratic leaders in the House are moving to suspend action indefinitely on the Columbia trade deal over President George Bush's handling of the matter, and in an effort to gain leverage to force action on Democrat priorities. The White House sent the deal to Congress on Tuesday. Under fast-track rules, lawmakers have 90 days to make an up or down vote. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the Democrat-controlled House will vote to eliminate the 90-day clock. The White House says such a move could ultimately kill the pact. White House spokesman Tom Fratto says it amounts to a pocket veto. And U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab accused Democrats of changing the rules for considering fast-track trade deals, quote, in the middle of the game. The USDA chief economist says there has been some movement in the Doha round of world trade talks. Joe Glauber says negotiators are making progress on technical agricultural issues,
which will help move forward. Hopefully we'll see a revised text come out on agriculture. I wouldn't characterize these things as breakthroughs in the sense of now, you know, we have an agreement. What it does mean is I think that we will be able to have a text that can go forward to ministers so that they can make the decisions, the trade-offs, trying to make the decision whether or not there's sufficient market access in this package to come to an agreement.
USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says there is growing optimism that a deal could come together by the end of the year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thank you to the more than 1,000 of you who pledged more than $181,000 to WILO Radio during our just-ended spring fundraiser. We'd like to welcome 105 new members to the Friends of WILL. Thanks for helping make a real difference. And if for some reason you didn't get a chance to make a contribution, you can make one anytime at willpledge.org. Again, many thanks.
Joining us now with a look at the cash grain analysis is Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon, Bill.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Producers becoming a little bit antsy about getting in the fields?
Yeah, a little bit antsy. We've really been pretty lucky up here so far, knock on wood, that we've only had about a little bit less than a half inch, really, on this last rain. So if we could get by with something in that range, we'd be in great shape.
Talk about whether this futures run-up that we've seen over the last week or thereabouts has resulted in additional sales.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of cash corn moving right now, at least from the elevator standpoint. You're seeing grain move into the to the end users, and because of the higher prices that we've seen in the last week or so, we've seen some farmer movement into the elevators. I think there's still some piles being picked up out here, and you're seeing some of that come in. We've seen it in the bases, too. The bases is pretty much steady to weaker here for the week on corn. Soybeans, on the other hand, is better across the board. Some very good gains in the bases on soybeans in the last week. And I think that's pretty logical, too, that we just haven't seen a lot of movement on soybeans from the producer. And we've seen this on the board there a couple of weeks ago that, you know, allows the hedger to hold on to his hedge a little bit longer and not have to be concerned with the margin call.
So if we're having this rally in futures in soybeans and we're also seeing better basis in beans, are you anticipating that producers are going to be getting to let go what little bit of beans that are still out there?
Yeah, I think today, for example, locally here, we got up over that $13 mark again. I think that did bring some soybeans into the chain. I think that was a number that some people who hadn't sold the first time around were looking for. And kind of the same thing on the new crop. We were in that $12 range, and, you know, that's a number that gets their attention if they hadn't sold earlier.
Where do you think basis will go over the next 30 days?
I think you'll continue to see the bean bases get a little bit better. Now, in this, I'm assuming that we don't see too many wild gyrations in the board in the futures, which may be the wrong assumption. But assuming that we stay fairly within a range here of prices, I think you'll see bean bases continue to improve. And corn bases will probably continue to be pretty steady, it looks to me like.
And your prices today?
557 cash corn, 551 new crop, 1301 old beans, and 1201 new crop.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thanks, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, Illinois. In just 2 minutes, we'll hear from agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt. AM 580 has a listener comment line. Give us a call at area code 217-333-0853. And tell us how we're doing with our agricultural offerings.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The Illinois House is debating a plan to give voters a voice this fall on whether the state should double the income tax on its wealthiest residents. The House is considering a proposed constitutional amendment that would increase the tax rate on people who make $250,000 or more a year from 3% to 6%. It would increase education funding, create a statewide construction program, and give small tax breaks to most taxpayers with the $30 million in anticipated revenue. Democrats say it would let voters decide if they want to solve some of the state's money problems by raising taxes on those who can most afford it. But Republicans say it's unwise to raise taxes in a sour economy, and there's no guarantee that the money would go toward what's promised. An assistant manager at Willard Airport says lines at the American Airlines counter aren't so long today, but flight cancellations out of Chicago's O'Hare Airport continue. The nation's largest airline says cancellations on flights with MD-80 aircraft may continue into the weekend as American works on faulty wiring bundles. Willard's Ted Gonzorowski says no flights to or from Champaign-Urbana are affected by the mechanical cancellations, but plenty of passengers are trying to go flight. He says overall use is up substantially over the past few months. The $30 million library replaced the old building. Director Marcia Grove says checkouts are up 30%, and librarians are handling a big jump in reference questions. Indiana Democratic gubernatorial candidates Jim Schellinger and Joe Longson will debate Tuesday in Fort Wayne. A Schellinger campaign spokeswoman says it may be the only debate between the candidates before the May 6th primary. And Western Indiana is one of the centers of the world of presidential politics tomorrow. Illinois Senator Barack Obama is due to hold an event at Terre Haute North High School that night. That event will take place several hours after former President Bill Clinton visits South Vermilion High School in Clinton to stump for his wife, New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILO AM 580. Marketing information for the agricultural public radio world. This is Dave Dickey joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Peter Levitt. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, Dave.
What we need is a window for planting in the next 2 weeks. Lots of producers pretty antsy right now. Are we going to see a window?
Not a very large window, unfortunately. Of course, we've got this major storm system coming through today and tonight. It'll linger into tomorrow and produce some flooding rains in southern Illinois. The amount of moisture streaming in is a little higher than some of the earlier forecasts had indicated, so it looks like 1 to maybe 3 inches downstate, half to 1.5 inches central and northern areas, but there'll be some showers and thunderstorms, some severe thunderstorms, and there's even a tornado watch out for southern Illinois at this time. We have this low-pressure system coming northeastward across northern Missouri and central Kansas into northern Missouri and then up to the west of us, and that will bring a cold front through the state tonight and tomorrow. Some clearing weather behind that, but a little slow because of all the instability and additional moisture. We expect to see fair weather by Sunday, should last through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we start going south again Thursday and Friday. You might get about 4 or 5 days with no rain, but it'll be cool. Temperatures will be dropping to well below normal as we get into the middle part of the week, with temperatures only getting up into the 40s on by Sunday afternoon and Monday, probably around 50, and then climbing back up later in the week. So I don't think that 4 or 5 days is enough, seeing as to how soggy the soils have been from all of this wet weather.
What do we make of the potential for snow in the hard red winter wheat area, and is that a concern?
It's not a concern, really, but they are going to get some. They have heavy snow warnings out from northeast Colorado, northwest Kansas, right up through western and central Nebraska, into the eastern Dakotas, and some places in central and northeastern Nebraska, up into eastern South Dakota and probably southwestern Minnesota. We'll see 6 inches to a foot of snow out of this late-season storm. Farther south, it'll be snow showers and the like, but that shouldn't be a problem. The temperatures will drop for a few days and then come back up pretty quickly, and things will start to warm up. So I don't think things are too bad for that. It's the high plains, really, where you have to worry about snow, and that's not terribly unusual at this time of year.
Thank you very much, Peter.
My pleasure.
Peter Levitt, meteorologist for AM 580, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 Central Time for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather reports on the World Wide Web. Go to willag.org and click on the audio tab. This is Dave Dickey.